Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We are talking about the heavenly inheritance. I started to say we're talking about our heavenly inheritance, which indeed is true for all of those who have been born again, who are indeed the children of God, which I would expect to be the majority of those who are listening to the Beacon Broadcast. But I know from past experience that there are people who listen who have not been saved, at least not yet. Because I know of some who have listened to the broadcast and God used it to bring you to salvation. We actually have some people in our church that fall into that category that heard the Beacon broadcast. God convicted their souls of sin and their need of a Savior, brought them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, brought them into our local church, and they are faithfully serving the Lord and have for many years. So, yes, I know that there are people listening to the broadcast who have not been born again. I trust that the fact that you're listening to the broadcast means that God is working in your soul to bring you to Christ. That would be a reasonable expectation. I started to say a reasonable assumption, but of course we cannot assume. There could be other reasons why you are tuned into the Beacon Broadcast, any number of reasons. You could be an unwilling listener. You're more or less captive in a place where somebody else has it on. I know of someone, at least someone, I'm sure there's many like this, but I know personally of someone who is in the habit of playing the radio station that this broadcast is on in their place of business, and everybody who comes in to their place of business throughout the day is going to hear whoever is on at that particular time. And if it is at the time when the Beacon broadcast is on, of course, you're going to hear that. You may not want to, you may not pay it any attention, but you're hearing it. And God has a purpose in that. That is not an accident. And if you are listening to the Beacon broadcast right now, not because you intended to, but because God has put you in circumstances where that's what you are doing in spite of what you would prefer to do, then I would urge you to see the hand of God in that and to realize that God is reaching out to you. You need to listen. You need to pay attention. You need to consider why God is doing that. But it is a merciful act of God. So, no, I cannot speak of our heavenly inheritance to everyone who's listening to the broadcast today, but I can speak of the heavenly inheritance that is the inheritance of all those who have been saved by the grace of God. So that's where we're going on this Thursday, January 10. Thank you for tuning in, and many thanks for those who help us financially maintain this teaching ministry on this station. Well, here's what Peter says in 1 Peter 1:4. He says, to an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. And he goes on to describe who the yous are that he's talking about, for you who are kept by the power of God, etc. So this heavenly inheritance, it really is breaking into the middle of a long sentence. He starts out talking about who is qualified for this inheritance in verse 3, and he's talking about those who have been saved by the grace of God, born again by the power of God, given new life by an act of God's grace. And then he says, one of the things I can tell you is that you have a heavenly inheritance, which in some respects, as we've already seen, is similar to an earthly inheritance in that it isn't a legacy, an estate. We can think of it that way. It is passed down from one to another. But the difference is, I mean, there's a lot of differences, but one difference is when we inherit an estate upon earth, it's because somebody died. We have to think about those things. My wife and I have purposed to get our estate in order this winter. I have one day a week off, and on that day during the main part of the year, I spend a great deal of it working in the yard and around the house, but particularly in the yard. There's a lot of mowing to be done and other things, and my wife and I have just made that our practice. We have a certain schedule that we follow. We enjoy spending some extra time together on my day off, so we start out by going out to breakfast and enjoying conversation and our company at that time, and then we generally do a little bit of shopping at a place where both of us have things that we would like to pick up, and then we head to the house and we get busy working on the yard, which takes generally several hours of yard work a week to keep up with things. But it's always nice, and then we generally shower from and get cleaned up from our work and go out again for supper. So we really make the day off a special day in that we anchor the breakfast time and the supper time generally with a meal out, kind of a special celebration, and skip lunch in the process so we don't overeat. Didn't used to do it that way, but we do it that way now. As I've gotten older, we've both gotten older and have to watch our calories. So we try to make it a day off, a special day, a day of conversation and just being together, something that we cherish very much. But there's work that needs to be done, so we work that in between and try to view that as a blessing and a time together as well. But we always look forward to the winter when there's no grass to be mowed, no leaves to be picked up, always some things that we could do, some chainsaw work that needs to be done and so forth, and we will do that on nice, bright, sunny days when the weather is attractive for that. But on the cold, wintry days when it's not nice to be outside, we've got some extra hours, and a lot of things I could do with that, would love to. I've got all kinds of reading to do that I can never seem to find the time to do, and I love to catch up on some of that during the winter. But we purpose to get our estate in order, to update our will, to take care of power of attorney and and all the things that need to be done. We've got a whole list of things, and we're going to work on that and get all of that caught up because we don't know how long we're going to live. We hope in the providence of God that we're not going to use these things or have need of them anytime soon. We hope we've got a good many years left upon the earth, but we don't know. We do know that death is inevitable and that we need to be prepared for it in every way. And the most important preparation is to be prepared to stand before God, as we're all going to do someday, and we better stand there in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And beyond that, as God's children, we need to be living our lives with eternity's values in view as those who are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the things done in the body, whether they are good or worthless, and we've got that in mind, of course. But there are also temporal things that need to be taken care of in the light of death. Not only temporal things that need to be taken care of in the light of living. Shuts as yards work if you've got a yard. Repairs on the house if you've got a house. And the kind of temporal things we need to do in order to maintain our lives upon the earth. But there are also some things that we need to do to get ready for death that are temporal in nature, and that has to do with estate issues as well as other things, but especially state issues, how to have an orderly transfer of whatever you've got, which in our case is not a whole lot. I sat down with a financial counselor, went through some things, and he got to a particular area in the checklist that he uses. And he says, well, you probably don't need to worry about this. You don't need to pay attention to this. And what he was saying in kind of a kind way was, your estate isn't big enough to be concerned about that. He's right. But I do want to take care of the things that I ought to take care of in an orderly way. But I got started down that train of personal personal rabbit trail to remind you that on Earth, somebody has to die before somebody else receives an estate. That's the way it works. You plan to pass these things on to your children or whoever you decide to inherit your estate, be it large or small. You plan to pass that on to them when you die. Not so with our heavenly inheritance, at least in the usual way of looking at things, because this is an inheritance that we're going to receive from our Father, as we often do upon the earth, but our Father doesn't die. He's God. He never dies. Now, I suppose one way we could bring the death analogy into it is that somebody had to die to secure that for us, and that, of course, was Jesus Christ. So in that sense, maybe we can even include the concept of death. But there are a number of things about our heavenly inheritance that are similar to earthly ones, but there are a whole lot of other things that aren't. And there are more contrasts here in this description of the heavenly inheritance than there are parallels. But there are some of each, and they are all instructive, and we need to understand the nature of our heavenly inheritance, which was secured for us, as he tells us here, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So in talking about this, he talks about the death of Christ, but he also talks about the resurrection of Christ. And that's the difference. When I die, if I die first, everything that belongs to me upon the earth goes to my wife. When she dies, then it gets distributed in other ways to our children and so forth. And that's the kind of preparation we're taking care of. But in the case of Jesus Christ, he died on the cross to secure this inheritance for those who trust in him. But he rose again from the dead. He didn't stay dead. So this isn't an inheritance that we receive because he relinquished it. It's an inheritance that we receive because he shared it. He didn't relinquish it, but he shared it. Another act of grace, of love, of giving in such an amazing way. He didn't hold on to it and say, this is mine, and I'm not going to give it up. He said, this is mine, and I'm going to share it with all my children, all those who trust in me. I delight to share it. And so the Bible calls us co-heirs with Christ. He has a great inheritance that is his because of his relationship with the Father, but he shared it with the multiplied thousands, multiplied millions, actually, of those who are his children by the grace of God. So this is an amazing inheritance, and we really need to think about it long and hard and rejoice in it and learn the many wonderful truths that are connected with it that are given to us in the Word of God. So that's where we're going. Join me again tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.